and write it into your hearts this afternoon, you will leave changed. Amen?
Amen.
Who wants to leave here with something new? Because the Lord is ready to deposit something into your lives. And I believe that I've experienced this, and it's my hope and my prayer that this afternoon that you will receive this truth that I received many, many years ago. And today I want to speak about loving one another. Hallelujah. Loving one another. And forgiving as Christ forgave you. Do you know that Christ forgave you of your sin and your shame?
Yeah?
John 13, verse 34 and 35 says, this is in the Bible, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. These are two principles at the very heart of the gospel. Love and forgiveness. They're not just ideas or feelings that we have, but they are commands and they are callings from the Lord. And they are at the essence, the very essence of who Jesus is. When we love one another and we forgive as Christ forgave us, we not only reflect the character of Jesus, but we also transform the world around us. We read there in John 13 that the command is to love one another. It's not a request, it's a command. Let us start with love. Jesus tells us plainly, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is not optional. It's not something that we do only when we feel like it or when it's convenient. It's a command. So what does loving one another look like? To love as Jesus means that we have a sacrificial love. Jesus laid down his life for us. Yeah? And he calls us to do the same for others. This doesn't always mean physical death, but it does mean dying to our selfish desires and putting others first. It means a love that is unconditional. Jesus didn't love us because we deserved it. Romans 5 verse 8 reminds us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are called to love, not based on someone's worthiness, but on their God-given value. The love we are talking about here is an active love. Love is not just a feeling, it's an action. 1 John 3 verse 18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I ask you today, are you loving others in a way that points them to Jesus? When people see how we love, how we care for the broken, how we serve the needy, How we forgive the undeserving. They see a glimpse of God's heart. But with this love comes the call to forgiveness. Love and forgiveness are intertwined with each other. You cannot truly love someone if you hold bitterness in your heart towards them. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Why is forgiveness so important? Because it reflects God's character. Forgiveness is at the very heart of the gospel. When we forgive, we mirror the grace and the mercy that God has shown to us. It sets us free. Forgiveness sets us free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I didn't just pull this out of some book. I've personally experienced this. And I'm going to speak deep from my heart again this afternoon. And you see, I don't like to just speak. I like to back it up.
Yeah.
I like to be real. And what has happened was, when I first became a Christian, most of you know my story. And a lot of what happened to me in my childhood led me down to the lines of started taking drugs and becoming somebody who hated God. And it was years and years, from the age of 5 or 6 years old, that I felt rejected and that I had no self-worth. And one of the main causes was my father. My father could not accept me because he saw me as weak, because I was always sickly from the age of 5. There was always something wrong with me. And my dad was a sportsman. He played provincial cricket. His life revolved around sport and drinking in the pub afterwards. And then he would come home in a drunken state, and the first person he would pick on was me. And when my mom tried to defend me, he would start abusing her. And he would tell me that I was useless. He used to say to me, "Why don't you just go off somewhere and die, because you have no purpose?" He would say to me, "You're just somebody, you're an oxygen thief." And other things. And I grew up thinking that I was useless, that I had no worth, that I was trouble to my family. And boy, did I set out to prove that in my teenage years and into my early 20s. I would deliberately embarrass them. That was my way of hitting back. I hated my father. I hated him for the way he behaved, and I hated him for the things that he said to me. And I would sit and I would actually plot in my head ways that he could die. That was the depth of my hate for him. I was infatuated with him dying. To me, that was the way to my happiness. You know, I came to salvation. I gave my life to Jesus Christ after an overdose on drugs. And yes, I gave my life to Jesus, but nothing was really changing in my life, because I was walking in unforgiveness, and I was walking in bitterness, and I was walking in hate. And even though I was sitting and hearing the Word of God Sunday after Sunday, there was still that unresolved issue of not loving my dad and unforgiveness. And I remember one day, one Sunday, my goodness, this guy came to our church, a guest speaker, and he was speaking about Lazarus and how Lazarus, Jesus called him and raised him from the dead, and he called him forth from his grave, from his tomb, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus was calling him, but when Lazarus came out of his tomb, he still had his grave clothes on. Now, he didn't put those grave clothes on himself. Somebody else put the grave clothes on him. And he had to make a decision if he was stepping into life in Christ or if he was going to take those grave clothes off. And I suddenly realized this spoke into my heart. And I started thinking, what grave clothes have you still got on, Robin? Yes, you've been taken from the place of spiritual death and you've been born into spiritual new life in Christ. But what grave clothes have you still got on? And that's when the Holy Spirit started working in my heart. And I realized that I needed to let go and to take my graves off. Because Jesus... Can you go sort that out there? Because Jesus was coming to do a work with me on that day. Now, a few months after I came to salvation, it was Christmas Day, and my father came to church, and he heard the call of Jesus on his life. And he gave his life to the Lord that Christmas. And yes, things did change in a great and a massive way in his life. Don't let this distract you. And I went up for prayer at that evening service that night. And I stood there and I raised my arms to heaven and I said, "I forgive you, Dad." And I got so overcome with emotion that I fell to my knees on the ground and people came from around and they started praying for me. And then I heard a familiar voice praying. And I looked up. And my dad had his hand on my shoulder and he was praying for me. He was praying for me. This is deeply personal what I'm telling you. But I want to tell you, from that day forward, my dad and I started loving one another. We looked beyond what had happened before and we realized that God was doing something new for us and we embraced it. A year and a half ago, I got to Cape Town, my dad was dying. And I got there the night before he died. And when I walked in, he wasn't very lucid. His body was shutting down. He had septic all the way through him. He was in pain. And when I walked in, I sat next to his bed and I said, "Dad, I'm here. I'm here. Just arrived from London and I'm here." And he opened up his eyes and he smiled at me and a tear came down his cheek. And I was able to minister to my dad that night and release him. And the next morning at 10 to 7 he passed with me holding his hand. I didn't just lose my dad that day, but I lost something special that God had done with us, and it was through forgiveness. Boy, did I love him. Did I love him in those last years? Forgiveness. Unrelenting forgiveness. In the same way that Jesus has forgiven every single one of you and me. This is how we reflect God's character. It sets us free. See, unforgiveness is a prison. It doesn't hurt the person who's wronged you, but it hurts you. But when you forgive, you break free from the chains of bitterness. It heals relationships. Forgiveness opens the door for reconciliation. It doesn't mean ignoring the wrong and pretending that it didn't happen, but it means choosing to let go of the debt and to seek peace. So how do we forgive? Forgiveness is not easy, but it's possible through Christ. And I'm going to give you some steps now, and I trust that you're going to take these and write them in your heart. Acknowledge the hurt. Don't suppress your pain, but bring it to God in prayer. Number two, remember God's forgiveness. When you struggle to forgive, reflect on how much you have been forgiven. Jesus said in Matthew 10 verse 8, freely you have received, freely give. And thirdly is a choice. Choose to forgive. Forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. You may not feel like forgiving, but when you choose to obey God, He will give you the grace to follow through. We have love and forgiveness in action, a beautiful motion of God's heart in us. You see, the world is watching us. The world is watching how we as believers are behaving. Jesus said that our love for one another is how people will know that we are His. Can the world see Jesus in us? Imagine a church where love and forgiveness abound. Can you imagine? Imagine families reconciled, friendships restored, communities healed because we chose to love and to forgive. We chose to obey the command that Jesus gives. That's the power of the gospel being lived out. We need to live in love, and we need to walk in forgiveness. Loving one another and forgiving one another are not easy tasks. They require humility, sacrifice, and the power of the Holy Spirit. But when we live this way, we become a shining light to a dark world. So I'm going to ask, will you commit today to love as Jesus loved? And forgive as He forgave. Is there someone you need to love more deeply? Is there someone that you need to forgive? Don't wait. I'd encourage you to take that step today. Now, I know there's a lot of nonsense that's going on here with some of you. Maybe that's a good start today. Let's try and start loving one another like Jesus loves us. And when we are wronged, let's start forgiving one another. Amen. And part of loving one another is actually showing each other love. Not winding each other up on the buses or in the taxis or in the streets of High Wycombe. But when we see each other, let's see each other in love. And when one of us slips and we wrong one another, let's forgive. Otherwise, it'll just build into a volcano of hate and bitterness, which is not part of the kingdom of God. Who is in the kingdom of God this afternoon? Show me your hand. Then we need to be kingdom-minded. Now, I'm actually done with fighting in the afternoon service. I'm done with it. It's a distraction to other people who want to come here and worship God and hear the word of God. And I'm giving you that decision today. You're either going to love and forgive, otherwise, I'm going to start calling you aside and calling you out and speaking to you in love. We're here to love. This is an environment of love. This is an environment of forgiveness. And I pray that whatever's happened in this last week, that you will have the attitude to be able to go to that person and to say sorry and to embrace each other and say, please forgive me. Can we do that? And let's extend this forgiveness to everyone around us. Because we are Jesus warriors. We are the Christ generation. And this is the start. This is the heart of who we are. Won't you stand with me? Don't go doing this if you don't mean it, because I'm not looking for a response. I'm looking for genuineness. Don't feel just because you don't do it that you're letting me down. You're not letting me down. I'm just here to give you a message. But you have a simple choice this afternoon. You can choose to love and to forgive, or you can leave here with bitterness in your heart. And I'm giving you the chance this afternoon to let it go. To leave it at the cross this afternoon. And to walk away here set free like I was all those years ago. It's not difficult. Nothing's difficult with Jesus. We make it difficult. So I'm not going to call you up for prayer because I know that this can be difficult to do. I know that maybe it can be emotional. But I encourage you just now, we're going to just have a few minutes where we're quiet. Nobody get up and leave, please, while we're doing this. Just respect what God's doing in other people's lives. You know what you need to do. I encourage you to do it. Just release it to him. Now, don't get robbed of it when you walk out the doors here today. Keep giving it. If it comes back, keep giving it to Jesus. Keep loading it off until you get the victory over it. And now, can I ask you to do something really weird? It's like really weirdo now, yeah? The pastor's going to get really weirdo now. Can you tell the next person how much you love them? And can you tell the person next to you how much Jesus loves them? Come on. Let's do it. Can we come back to our seats, please? Oh, bless you, man. Love you too, my brother. I love you so much. All right, can we get back to our seats, please? I know I set this off, but... Okay. Just in closing, I just want to say Janet sends her love to you. Janet is the 20... Okay, can we sit down, please? Is Sunday the 26th next week? Is it the 26th? What's today? Saturday is the 26th. Is Saturday the 26th? Wait, what day is the 26th?
26th is next Sunday.
Sunday. So I want to just let you into a little secret that next Sunday is Janet's birthday, but it's a special birthday. Okay, she won't mind me telling you that next Sunday she turns 70. So...
Make out 21.
Yeah, and I got to share those years with her.